verse 9 through 15. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. I've been preaching through 1 Timothy now for some weeks. And last time we were here, we focused on verse 8. Let me just read that to you. It says, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And what we have done, we've got into, if we want to call it, the proper letter, the letter proper of 1 Timothy. First chapter is obviously extremely important, but Paul is really getting to what he wants to speak about in verse number 1 of chapter 2. And the theme of the book, let me read it very quickly in chapter 3, verse 15, is this. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is in the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the church. Paul wants us to know how to conduct ourselves in God's household, how to be the church, how to act not only at church, so to speak, but how to act as the church Paul is looking at. And Paul began with prayer. We talked about prayer. We looked at prayer. He goes from prayer. They're both connected, but he goes from prayer to verse 8. He talks about men. And one of the struggles that men have from time to time, one of the struggles that men tend to have is they have wrath and they have anger. There's conflict between brothers at times. And Paul addresses that in verse 8. He says, without wrath and doubting. And that is something that as men, we need to put to death. We need to forgive, we need to let go, we need to move on, we need to, whatever the situation calls for, we need to be at peace with one another. And that is something that men tend to struggle with, this pride. And I think it's very true. You look at the Bible, you look at experience, you look at life, and if we rightly interpret the Bible, we will rightly interpret experience and how our life has been. We will see that for us as men, many times, our wrath and anger comes from nothing but pride, doesn't it? Our pride is hurt. We're not being worshipped like we want. Now, we would never say that, but that's in our heart at times. And Paul says to the men to put away this, to put away that evil out of your heart. So he addresses prayer, he addresses men, now he addresses women here. Let's read verse 9 and 10. These are the verses we're going to focus on tonight. Verse 9 and 10, men tend to struggle with wrath and anger. Women tend to struggle at times with this, verse 9 and 10. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. I want us to look at mainly four things tonight. Four things from these verses. And everything I'm going to say tonight is very important. And yet at the end puts it all together. It's so very important what we're going to see later tonight as we try to see this in the big scheme, the big picture, what the Bible has for us as God's people, God's house, the people of God. This is the first thing I want to say, though. The Bible here is addressing women. How does the Bible, how does God want women to dress? Godly women, how does God desire for them to dress? This is the first thing I want to say to us is this. Godly women need to dress themselves in a spirit of modesty. A spirit of modesty. I think if we begin with rules, if we begin with laying down conduct here and there, we're really missing the thrust, not only of this passage, but the New Testament as a whole. The thrust of the New Testament is not rule and order in that sense. No, obviously it gives us rule. It gives us specifics here in verse 9 as well as the principle. That's very true. We're going to look at those. But the New Testament begins with principle. And this is the principle. Verse 9, we'll read about halfway through. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety or with properness and moderation. It's a principle here to have a spirit of modesty about us. That's what the Bible is looking at. That's what the Bible is focusing on here. When you look at the New Testament, what you find is it's principle focused. It's truth focused. You read the Old Testament, and what you see is the Old Testament, I'm not going to say that there's not principles, obviously there are, but it's more rule focused. It's more, in this situation, you do this. You have this situation that's a little bit different than that situation, well, you do this. It's speaking to us as children. That's what the Bible teaches about the Old Testament. There's rules, there's conduct laid down. It's for children. It's for people who are under the law. It's for people who haven't had the freedom in Christ, as the New Testament speaks about. Let me give you an example of this. Jesus says, this is the new commandment that Christ gave us, that we are to love one another. Now, that's not new, is it? But it doesn't stop there. We are to love one another as I have loved you. Now, that is new. That's a new demonstration of what love is. Yes, you read in Leviticus chapter 18, Leviticus chapter 20, it's speaking against homosexuality, and people say, why don't you just stop reading the Old Testament and get to the New Testament where all the truth is? Well, Leviticus 19 says to love your neighbor as yourself. It's all God's truth. Yes. How is it new then in the New Testament when Jesus says, I give you a new commandment? It's because the bar has been raised so much higher. Jesus says, don't just love each other. Love each other the way that I have loved you. Now that's the principle. That's the truth. But the New Testament does not give us every single little thing of how love performs. In fact, it could not. There's no way all the functions and manifestations of love could ever fit in the New Testament. It talks about Jesus. If all the works of Jesus could be written down, the world cannot contain the books thereof. And if all the manifestations of love could be written down, the world cannot handle that many books. Because love shows itself in so many different ways. How are we as Christians, again, I'm speaking about principle here, I'm just seeing this for us to see this point. How are we as Christians supposed to care for widows and orphans? That was an emphasis of missions conference. It was a good emphasis, wasn't it? How are we to care for them? Well, the Bible lays down a concrete law, if you want to say it that way, that's fine. James says we are to visit them in their distress. To visit the orphan, to visit the widow. That's true. But surely we're not going to stop there and say, I've visited the orphan, I've visited the widow, there's no more love can do. No, that is a specific law, but it goes much further than that. There's a principle behind it. The principle, again, in the Old Testament, you have a law that is to put railings on your roof. Now, wouldn't you look silly today if you put railings on your roof? That would be silly of you. The principle is this. People of that day went onto the roof. They went up. They fellowshipped. They ate together. And you put a railing around it. Why? Because you don't want people to fall off. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you'll want safety for them. If you have a porch 20 foot off the ground with no railing, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you put a railing there. That's the principle. So we see principles are the emphasis of the New Testament, and from those principles we do at times see specifics, as we'll see tonight. And look at what this says in verse 9. It says, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest apparel. Basically, orderly apparel. You may then say right apparel. Look in chapter 3, verse 2. The same basic word appears here in chapter 3. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Now, where does that word appear there in verse 2? It appears when it says of good behavior. Of what is good behavior? It's orderly behavior. What is good behavior? It's right behavior. So basically here, when the Bible speaks about modest apparel is speaking of what is right in an orderly way, the right way that godly women ought to dress themselves. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety. with properness. It says here, King James Version says shamefacedness. Basically, the picture is this. We are to dress ourselves with bashfulness. That's a good word to think about it here, bashfulness. And what that means is we don't want to draw undue attention to ourselves. We do not want to be the center of attention. Now, if it's your wedding day, that's different. And the Bible makes exceptions for that. But basically, we want to be dressed in shamefacedness. We want to be people who do not reflect all the praise and glory to ourselves and try to get people to look at us in ways that is sensual. That's one of the thoughts here of this shamefacedness, this properness, propriety, this bashfulness. And then it says in verse 9, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation. King James Version says sobriety. This I would think of a word of restraint. This restraint. This a person who is sober-minded, they're under control in the right way. Again, these three words. What we're seeing is principle. Principle. What is the spirit that we have in our hearts? What's the spirit that I have in my heart? I dress myself and so forth. But specifically here for women, what is the spirit within our heart? Are we interested in purity of the inward person? Are we interested in having a quietness about us, a quiet spirit? Are we interested in having a bashfulness? Not a cowardly, but a bashfulness, a quiet spirit, a spirit that submits, a spirit that, so forth. So the main thing here, the very first part, he's talking about how women should dress, how godly women should dress. The main thing he's looking at is these big words that have big ideas and big principles, a spirit of moderation, a spirit of modesty. That's what he's looking at here. But then from this spirit of modesty, we see he gets into some specifics here in verse 9. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. Now, what's he getting at here? If you read about the literature of this day, you'll read about women at the time having these outrageous displays of wealth, whether in clothing or the way they did their hair. Outrageous thing. No doubt Paul speaks to that, but surely he speaks to more than that here, than just the outrageous things that were happening in his society. Is he given an absolute prohibition against these things? I would say he is not. He is not. Let me give you a couple reasons why I say this. Look in First Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Listen to what it says here. Starting in verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now listen to verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. We'll stop there for now. We'll look at these verses later tonight. Listen to verse 5 again. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. So Peter here in 1 Peter, he goes back to the Old Testament example of the women of old. The holy women of old, they submitted to their husbands. They adorned themselves, proper clothing, on the outside and on the inside. They did that. Well, what I bring from that verse is this. The holy women of old, we read in the Old Testament at times, dressed with outward adornments. We see that. Let me give you an example. A famous proverb, obviously, Proverb 31. We will talk more about this tonight, but listen to one verse. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. You see, wearing nice, even to some extent, at least expensive clothing. A godly woman here. You read in Exodus. Exodus 35. This is at the time of the construction of the temple. People are giving offerings. And listen to the things that men and women give. Verse 22 through 23. Of Exodus 35. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, red skins of rams, and badgered skins, brought them. So you see here the people of God bringing earrings, bringing these things to give. Not because Moses said, I want you to get rid of all these things. No, give a free will offering to the Lord. And they're bringing these things. They have these things. So the Bible here is not speaking about an absolute prohibition against these things. The Bible is speaking about having modesty and moderation with these things as well. So I think that's very important for us to see. And yet at the same time, Paul is making a big point here. And this is a point that's obviously needed in our American church culture at large, isn't it? This is something that's gone, for the most part, people have forgotten about it, they've ignored it, I would like to think most people simply have not thought about this. Like me, for some years, I'm thinking of a truth right now that I won't get into, but I read the Bible many times, this passage, and it never dawned on me. I read the verse, and yet what I needed was someone to help me see those things. So I'd like to think many people in this American church culture who dress like the world, so to speak, who dress out of sorts with what God's word would want them to say, haven't even really thought about it like they ought to have. So I would like to think that of people. This is a problem, isn't it? It's a problem in our American church culture. And it's a problem here that Paul is addressing. Again, listen to what 1 Peter says. This is not just a problem that is happening at this one church that Timothy is at. Again, 1 Peter chapter 3. Do not let your adornment be merely, the word merely there is added, merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Fine there is added as well in the text. So you see, more people than Paul is speaking about this. So we see, first of all, there's a spirit of modesty that God is calling for godly women to have, a spirit of modesty about us. And then he gets into some specifics here. Now, if we stop there tonight, we would have seen some things of God's revealed will. And we should be very thankful and grateful for that. But if we stopped here tonight, we would really miss the main emphasis of this entire passage. The two most important things, those two things I've just spoke about are very important and very needed. But the next two things are even more important, and they build upon these things. How should godly women dress? With modesty, and not with this outward show of trying to be fancy and so forth, and drawing an undue attention to themselves. Yes, all that's true. A spirit of modesty, yes, the Bible would speak toward that. But how, let me ask the same question and answer it, maybe in a way you're not expecting. How does the Bible tell us that women ought to dress? And the Bible says they should be clothed not only in modesty, but with good works. That's the emphasis here of the Bible. That's the emphasis of the entire Scripture, not just in this passage. Look what it says. Verse 9, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. Very important. We must obey this. But then verse 10, but, which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. If you are a Christian woman tonight, yes, you must have a spirit of modesty, and there are certain things you must avoid, sure. But even more important than that is this, you must clothe yourself with good works. To dress modestly, to have a spirit of moderation about yourself, and yet not have good works is a waste. It's a waste. It's empty. But to be according to the Bible, a woman, yes, who in their heart has a spirit of moderation and modesty, of shamefacedness, according to the scriptural term, to have that and to add to that good works. That is the picture that God wants to have of His children and of His people. Again, I want you to turn with me, and we'll look a little bit more in depth this time at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me ask you this while you're turning there. This is a good question to ask. When you are thought about from other people, when other people think of you, what do you think the first thing comes to their mind? Is it your good works? Is it your good character, your good testimony? Or is it the way that you dress and so forth? That's a good question, isn't it? What is the first thing that people think about Christian women that you know? What is that? That's a test for our hearts here. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Now listen to what he says here. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. The hidden person of the heart. With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Pause there. Why should Christian women desire this over what the world thinks they should desire? If you only had one thing to say, this would be it, which is very precious in the sight of God. Isn't that enough? Isn't it enough to be more concerned with not what the magazines of the day and our peers may think and our family and so forth and people on Facebook who really don't care about us, but they want you to like their stuff? Isn't it more important not to care what they have to say about things, but to care about what God thinks? This is precious in God's sight. Verse 5, for in this manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. We are to trust in God. That is part of the godly woman's array. That is part of the godly woman's wardrobe. They trust in God. Verse 5 again, being submissive to their own husbands. That is something the godly woman clothes herself in submission to her husband. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. We see good works. We're going to be clothed in good works. I've never really been a referee before at a sporting event. To be honest with you, I don't want to be one. Probably underpaid, underappreciated. So I'm not an expert, in one sense at least. But I do think, I know this. The best kind of referee in a sporting game is the one you never pay attention to. He does well, he does his job, the game is being ran in such a way that you can focus on the game, not the referee. That's the best kind of game to watch. And the same way, God wants godly women, their focus to be on good works, for people to see them and to think of good works. Not that they cannot dress up, not that they cannot have nice clothes. It's not that. But the focus is not on the referee. It's not on the wardrobe. The focus is on the heart. The focus is on what really matters to God. That's the point the Bible is getting at here. Let me read a few verses to us. Acts chapter 9. This is speaking of Peter and a woman named Tabitha. And listen to how Tabitha is remembered by her friends. Verse 36, at Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. That's how she was remembered. Now the story would go on. Tabitha has died. Peter comes. He's going to raise her from the dead. But listen to what it says in verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. She's dead. She's dead. What do they remember? Look at all the good that she did for us. That's what God wants godly women to be remembered by, their good works. Look at all the good that she did in this world and to us. The world may have not even known her, but we knew her, and God knows her today. Romans chapter 16. Verse 1 and 2, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. That's what God wants his saints to be remembered for. Verse 6, greet Mary, who labored much for us. That's it. Good works. Godly character. That is what God wants us to be focused upon. I mentioned Proverbs 31 earlier. And the verse I read from there talked about being clothed in fine linen. That's true. And yet we all know, I hope the focus of that proverb is not on the outward. It's on the inward. In fact, listen to the last two verses of that proverb. The Bible says this, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's the focus there. Not on the outward. Let's not forget the outward altogether. But the inward, the inside, the hidden person of the heart, the good works that are done. And I would say to us, and ask us tonight, why is it? And to me, this is the very most important thing that can be said tonight. All these other things have been important. But this is the most important thing that can be said. Why is it that God desires from his children, his daughters, why is it that God desires this of his children for? God wants his people to be like this, because this is God's world, and this is not our world. This is God's world. And what we do in life is not to try to attract glory to ourselves, whether it's me, in this passage, speaking directly to women. The purpose of our life is not to reflect, not to gather glory, not to gather praise, not on the outward. The purpose of our life is actually to reflect all these things to God. That's it. And this is the great reason why God wants his children, specifically here the ladies, to dress in this manner, this spirit of modesty, is so all the praise goes to God. Listen to what Jesus says. I love simple truths. I love simplicity. And when you turn to the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot find simpler words than the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus teaches in Matthew 5 goes directly with this passage. All of Scripture is interrelated. It's all intertwined. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men. Let your light shine, he says. Yes, let it shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's it. That's it. God wants us to live, to speak, to dress, to go places, whatever it might be. God wants us to do everything so he can be praised. Not us. God desires that. If I get up here and preach in a pink suit, it's about me. That's what it comes down to. And no one's going to take me serious. And you shouldn't. That's it. It becomes me. It doesn't become, what did the preacher say tonight? It becomes, did you see what he was wearing? There's no glory to God. All the glory is to me. It's foolishness. Everything we do in life is to bring glory to God. Everything we do to life is to bring sinners, not to look at us. If they do look at us, it's only because we're a reflection. We're like the moon. We reflect the sunlight. We reflect God's glory. That's it. And the moon should direct us to about 12 hours later to try to look at the sun. But we can't. It's too bright. And the world sees us as little Christ walking around the earth. It's not about us. It's not about our glory. It's about our Father's glory. And they see us. And they say, what is it about that person? I want to know their God. You know, I can dress in such a way. You'll laugh at this, but sometimes I dress. I have ties I don't even really like, but sometimes I wear them because I want to look plain and so forth. That's not saying much about me, though, is it? It's okay to wear a nice tie. It's okay for the ladies to dress nice, in moderation, in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of modesty, reflecting God's glory to others, and others see us and see God. That's it. It's all about God. And this is the way that God wants his saints, his ladies in the church, to dress.